This is Barbara Glickstein, the host and producer of HealthCetera. HealthCetera is the voice of the Center for Health Media and Policy at Hunter College, City University of New York. Let's talk health. That's our motto and our mission, and we mean it. We aim to engage in, start, and foster the place where diverse, dynamic, frontline people go to talk about health, healthcare, and health policy. Thank you for joining us today on WBAI. Today, my guest is co-founder of Make a Nurse, Anna Young, who, along with Jose Gomez Marquez, co-founded Make a Nurse. Welcome back, this time to HealthCetera, Anna, your second visit to our program, where we're going to hear more about how you and Jose have traveled around the United States and globally, I know, identifying nurses who are, using your term, hacking the supply cabinet, end quote. Welcome back, and glad to have the chance to talk with you and get updated on the work of Make a Nurse since you launched in 2013.
Thanks, Barbara, for having me. It's really great to continue the conversation and share some of what we've been up to.
So I want the listeners to know that Make a Nurse is supported by the Robert Wood Johnson's Pioneer Portfolio Project and the Institute for Medical Engineering and Science at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Anna Young is a researcher in the Little Devices Lab at MIT, and Jose Gomez Marquez as well is a researcher at the Little Devices Lab at MIT. And in the last 2 years, they've been launching and finding nurses around the country, as I mentioned, under the project Make a Nurse. So give us, start where you'd like, Anna. I know you've just come back from a global trip as well as being in Texas, and I'd love to hear about what's going on with Make a Nurse.
Absolutely. So it's been a whirlwind for us and the network of really creative nurses that we are building. You know, 2013, Barbara, when we first spoke, we were asking the question, what are nurses making, and where are nurses who are creating and fabricating devices to improve patient care, to improve nurse workflow, and in general, just create a better healthcare environment? So we spent the better part of a year traveling around the country, speaking with nurses over phone interviews, in person, and setting up a network of expedition sites. So we had 5 different hospitals that we, you know, did a deep dive into to understand what is happening at the front line and to have those conversations, both asking, you know, what are the examples of making? Sometimes nurses didn't even recognize that what they were doing, that problem, creative problem solving with their hands, was making. And then the second thing was, what are the ideas that they have? And we really had to do coaching on both sides of that to elicit the ideas, because traditionally nurses were just used to their ideas not going anywhere, not knowing where the pipeline was to actually bring those to fruition. So happy to say that, you know, we were able to document hundreds of different creative examples from nurses. We launched a number of them on a website called Maker Nurse Create, that is really kind of like a recipe website to share how nurses are making and what they're making, what are the materials that they're using, and what are the end devices. The second thing that's, you know, been in the pipeline and in the works since we wrapped up the study is the launch of prototyping spaces and carts for nurses to actually bring their ideas to fruition. So the first physical space for prototyping was launched in September, and that's a Maker Health space at the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. So it was launched inside of John Seeley Hospital, and that over the past 2 months has been where Jose and I and our team have been spending quite a bit of time getting the fantastic nurses who we met during the study up and running now with the tools and materials to prototype these ideas.
And I watched the video on YouTube, which we can let direct our listeners to after they listen to you in this segment of HealthCetera. How was the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston in the John Seeley Hospital chosen as the first place for this amazing Make Your Health space?
There were 3 real, I would say, strong suits of how UTMB was chosen, 3 points that they had. One was that there were, you know, the data showed us that there were just so many examples of making by frontline nurses. So even before having access to a physical space to prototype, nurses at UTMB were off and running, and they had ideas, and they went through the process of prototyping on their own time and had end devices that then they were working with the care team, the clinical team at the hospital to use. So that's one. And then the second was they actually had support from management and nursing leadership and hospital leadership. We saw that, you know, so led by David Marshall, that this was a priority for them. So there's a nursing innovation program, and it was a priority for nurses to be supported and recognized by this. And then the third was the way that, you know, not only just was the innovation, nursing innovation as a priority, a hat tip, but they were actually walking the walk. Yeah. So nurses are recognized as part of their professional advancement with human resources. Innovation and examples of making are part of what allows them, those are documented, that's what allows them to advance professionally. Yeah. So that's something called a CCAP program. So that was already in place. And then there's an entire curriculum in place at UTMB to support nursing innovation. So it was the right environment. They had the right support from leadership, and there's a clear demonstration that, you know, if you give these nurses access to tools and materials, they will run faster than you can imagine. And that's what we've been seeing.
How exciting and interesting as well in to see and witness and to have an environment of learning that that really encourages that kind of, yeah, let's give this a try, let's see what we can do, sort of the kind of work environment I think all of us, I know I certainly would, you know, seek to work in, right, where ideas aren't put down as, oh, we tried that, or, oh, that's too crazy, that'll never happen. It seems as though in order to support a maker nurse or a maker health environment to prototype things that are going to improve your ability to provide high standards of care in a safe and effective way really means that there, that space, that culture has to be created, as you've pointed out, and why this facility was at least piloted here. Are you still funded by the Rob Wood Johnson Foundation, or has this been a collaboration with that university center as well?
Yeah, so it's both, Barbara. So okay. We have the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is the lead funder for the launch of the Maker Health Space at UTMB. Okay. It is complemented by funding and from the University of Texas Medical Branch. So David Marshall, the chief nursing officer, was awarded a president's cabinet grant. So that's a system-wide call for proposals, and he was awarded that funding specifically for the Maker Health Space. And then there's in-kind support from the hospital, which for us was, really an important part of how this was launched and how this was designed, because these spaces need to be sustainable. And part of that, we've worked with UTMB to frame out the return on investment so that it's not just the fun, nice to have space where people go, you know, just to kind of relax and express their creative side. Mm-hmm. But there's a clear tie to both patient outcomes, to cost savings in the procurement process, employee satisfaction and retention, and talent recruitment as well. So all of these, you know, making and health is not just what happens for fun. It's really, we're looking at it as an integrated way to improve outcomes and other metrics at the hospital.
So you mentioned in your first remarks that you have been in conversation and learned about over 200 projects. Were there categories of areas that you found this kind of innovation in? Are you seeing repeated areas that across the country that people are working to improve a gadget, a technical piece of equipment that doesn't exist and should be created? Do you have a sense that you can share with us about those encounters?
I can share a little bit. So we admittedly are just getting ready to submit the manuscript for a paper, a peer-reviewed paper for the Maker Nurse study. So you'll be able to read a lot more details.
Looking forward to that.
Early 2016. But I guess at a high level, you know, some of the categories that we've seen of maker nurses, so different personas, is looking at so education, so whether this is making for nursing education or patient education. That was a really big area that we saw. The discharge process, when nurses were designing and creating things for patients who were at the transition point, like that was really important because it gave them a tangible way to hand off that information for the patients. So those were some of the big areas. I would say it was interesting to us when we looked at where the maker nurses were coming from. Mm-hmm. The critical care unit was by above and beyond just the largest percentage of the nurses who we spoke with and the surveys that we received. And medical surgical units were closely behind that as well.
Interesting. And your sense of, and I can't wait for the article to be published, and I know that you'll let me know the moment that it is, so I can find out more about this, and I'll certainly share it with our listeners here on HealthCetera WBAI Pacifica Radio in New York. My guest is Anna Young, who is the co-founder of Make a Nurse, along with Jose Gomez Marquez, who is not joining us today, was on the first program, and we look forward to, you know, repeatedly checking back with you, because this is a movement, and you know, it's referred to as a do-it-yourself movement. It's certainly people refer to it as, you know, hackathons and hacking into things that exist and making them better or changing them, not only to make them better, but to see an application of something that could also work in another situation. Maybe you can share a couple of those things that were used for one application, and then a nurse said, hey, that's like something that we might be able to use over in that population of people for this reason. Is there one that comes to mind, Anna?
Yeah, so there's one off the top of my head that, you know, was just such a high impact solution created by a nurse. So Roxanne Arena was one of the first nurses who we spoke with. She's from Corpus Christi, Texas, at Driscoll Children's Hospital. And the second we released the press release, so we were looking for maker nurses, we heard from Roxanna, and she said, I'm a MacGyver nurse. I'm a maker nurse. I fix things and create things for my patients all the time.
Wow.
So we loved her enthusiasm, and Driscoll ended up being one of the expedition sites in our network. So what Roxanna works with small patients. She was formerly a NICU nurse and is now a wound care specialist. So in the world of pediatrics, there's really a need for innovation and customization and what we call just-in-time manufacturing and just-in-time design. And Roxanna was treating infants who have omphalocele, so it's an abdominal wall defect when babies are first born. Very serious. They have, you know, it's a very invasive procedure to correct this defect. And what Roxanna did is she noticed that there was, you know, instead of a surgery, that this could actually be treated as a wound. It was really just a wound in the abdomen when babies were born, but there was no proper bandage for this. And so she looked and saw the bandage for adult sacrum pressure sores. So it's about, you know, a little bit smaller than the diameter of a soccer ball. And it's meant to go on the back of adults. And she was like, well, that's actually the same size as the omphalocele that I'm treating. And so worked with her team to actually create a protocol, a hardware protocol, to use this bandage and a number of others to customize a treatment for these very small, delicate babies. Ran a study where they actually had enrolled patients to try this, test this protocol, and reduced their time in the hospital from 4 months to 2 months with minimal risk of infections and no complications afterwards. So this is really like revolutionizing how these babies are being treated, and it saved their hospital $250,000
Wow.
in operating room expenses per year.
Wow. And just describe again what the physical, what it is that it, that that she created. Can you just describe it one more time?
So the bandage that the kit that really Roxana put together, it's a large bandage typically used to treat pressure sores, and it's placed over the omphalocele. So the intestines are born outside of the stomach, and so this bandage is wrapped over the omphalocele and then guarded with a number of other small bandages that, that her and her team designed and protected in place for the first few weeks. Instead of immediately bringing the baby into surgery, she's able to heal this as a wound and then minimize the risk and complications of a procedure later on.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. It's also so moving knowing that the risks of infection and the data that's been collected in terms of reducing it as well as saving costs, which we know is also a critical part of healthcare reform and helping to capture ways that one, you know, in terms of safety and quality of care, and then of course cost is something that we need to talk about and recognize and certainly recognize this nurse for her contribution to the care of children born with this problem. Are they sent home with these packages?
No, this is something that is used right as after the baby is born, as the omphalocele is healing, and then there's a minor surgery to tuck everything in, and then babies are they're able to go home.
So let's go back to the new Maker Health space at the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston at the John Seeley Hospital. I watched both videos and kind of wish that I was like inside the video and having my hands on a lot of those fun objects that were available, the 3D printer. It was the huge folder of fabric materials because I love fabrics that I was like, wouldn't mind having a skim through that one either. So talk a little bit about what materials are available to empower nurses and other healthcare staff to bring their ideas in. And when would they have time to go there? Is it open all the time? Is it open for evening and night shift people? Is it currently limited to certain people? And let's get a sense of what the buzz is going on there.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, one of the most important things for us and for the team at UTMB when we started was that this was branded the Maker Health space. And so while nursing is really leading the prototyping and design that's happening at this phase, the intention is for this space to be open to all staff at UTMB. Mm-hmm. So whether you are a nurse, whether you are a physical therapist, a surgeon, or even administrative staff, you will have access to using the tools and materials inside of the makerspace. So that was really for us one of the most exciting things that you know we were able to come to an agreement upon as a team with UTMB. So the Maker Health space is currently open weekdays during business hours, and we've been able to set up some night shift hours as well for the staff to just introduce them to the tools and materials and let them register by special appointments to come and prototype. So we didn't want to leave them out, and that's an important part of as going forward, how do we make this space fully available? So our, in terms of just, you know, making sure that, you know, how do we give nurses time and other staff time to use this? Our goal has been that, you know, if nurses have an idea, if somebody comes in with an idea, they will be able to leave with a concept prototype in 10 minutes, that we will be able to introduce them to tools and materials that will generate a prototype within 10 minutes, because sometimes that's all that nurses have. That's all that staff have. I mean, this is a really, hospitals are busy places,
right,
and for
right.
good reason. They've
right.
got really important jobs. And so we have, you know, that flow figured out where we're able to coach nurses through this and present them with the material to use. The second point, you know, it's in the hospital. So you hit the eighth floor, and to the left is the dialysis lab and day surgery, and to the right is the makerspace.
How cool.
So that, the proximity to the patients and the proximity to the day-to-day workflow of the hospital staff is huge. Mm-hmm. Like, it is just one other place that they can pop into that is going to allow them to create something or pick up a resource that will make their job easier.
Wow. Do you imagine going forward this being also a collaborative space with patients and families contributing to this work?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that the transition and the discharge process for as an opportunity for making, really, where there's this just tremendous, you know, you have patients who have been in the hospital for, it could be days, it could be weeks or months at a time, and they've been surrounded by a care team who has probably been making small solutions for them all along the way. So using that discharge process as a point to say, well, now let's teach you how to solve these same problems, or let's solve them in a way that, you know, is exciting for you or that you think would work better. In addition to, so I mentioned earlier that there's a network, you know, that's growing. Thomas Jefferson Medical School in Philadelphia is one of our partners who we've been working with on a curriculum to actually teach medical residents how to approach this design and prototyping with patients during discharge as well. So we'll be bringing them into the UTMB space soon, but there's a lot of other exciting places where this making is cropping up in the care setting.
I know from my interest in what happens at the MIT Media Lab and all the labs up there is that this the brilliance of bringing in stakeholders from all communities around an issue is how we are removing silos of thinking and getting the brilliance of everybody involved, the creativity, the freedom to think together. And I think what we learn from that kind of inventive community and sort of people on the edge of wanting to figure something out because it matters to them or their loved ones or their work experience or just their intellectual curiosity is some of the richest thinking that I've been able to be around in the work in healthcare. We know that more and more we're talking about interprofessional teams. At the moment, it still sort of means within the healthcare provider community, but that's a good start. It's not a criticism saying that. But certainly what we also know is sometimes we give lip service to saying we want families and communities of patients to be involved, but I don't see the sort of make a community and the ideas that come out of MIT Media Lab and the work that you and Jose are doing to be exclusive. I think you have my experience of what following you is you started with the nursing community, and I'm actually thrilled to hear that the lab is open to other folks, you know, respiratory therapists and OT and PT who are community of people, particularly PT and OT, they're always figuring out new ways to make things work better, you know, for people.
Absolutely.
And I'm very excited about this development as well. So we know there's some research article coming out in the future, and we have this new first lab. What else can you tell us that we can look forward to towards the end of 2015 and into 2016 that Make a Nurse is planning?
So our goal is to continue to grow the Maker Nurse and Maker Health Network so that the resources to prototype and design at the point of care are just second nature, the same way that, you know, we brought, you know, the system adapted to bring in ICU units and cardiac units and emergency departments and simulation centers. Like, we're looking for, you know, ways to bring making as just a part of the care setting. So we have the additional, you know, the pioneer network of expedition sites that started the Maker Nurse study. We're going to be growing and expanding that and launching at a few additional sites towards the end of the year. And then our team will actually be at TEDMED in November, and we'll be launching some additional resources around how the examples of making are shared between this network and opening that up to just the broader healthcare and maker community as well.
Anna, in our first conversation on this program, you shared your early interest in this work, having had the opportunity to live and do research in other parts of the world. Now that you're here in the States and doing this work, and I know traveling, continuing to travel, you recently returned from Central America, that I'm just wondering, do you see a similarity? And if you do, then what differences do you see in the creativity around the Make a Nurse and Make a Health team?
So absolutely, and it's one of the things that's been most exciting for me personally is just seeing that we've been able to find this common thread throughout nursing, that there's just like passion of problem solving and making, of creating tangible solutions that is in the care setting, regardless of geographic boundaries, regardless of resources. You know, it's not just that resource-poor settings are making. This is really that making is a outlet for nurses and providers to solve problems for their patients. And we continue to do that. We continue to flow the information both domestically and abroad. Jose and I just got back from a trip with our team to Medellin, Colombia, where we're working with a number of hospitals and universities to set up actually medical maker spaces within the community setting. So more of like the distributed network. But again, it's the same. We spent one afternoon inside of a hospital and came out having spoken to 24 maker nurses and being able to share some of the solutions that we've seen throughout the U.S. hospital systems as well. So really exciting to see that this is, you know, a global effort among the nursing community.
We're also beginning to see some of these inventions and innovations show up in the media. This past week, two nurses invented a new C-section drape so that a mom can bond with her baby right away. So the photograph of it, or the image that I've seen, is of a large blue sheet, a sterile field, with a square cutout that where the newborn can be placed through and safely, in terms of contamination or concerns about contamination, placed on the abdomen of the mom who just had this baby and a C-section. Those nurses' names are Kimberly Jarrell, Deborah Burbick, and Jess Nicoli. I'm happy to see that it's making some media attention, and I know that that your project is also reaches out to let news media know about prototypes that have been put into play. So we have just a moment or two left. Is there another one in addition to the beautiful one you shared that you want to in our closing couple of minutes?
Yeah, so Nicole Wooden was one of the first nurses at UTMB who we spoke with, a maker nurse who was prototyping before we even got to the hospital. She worked in the cath lab, and when they were doing the procedure for radial catheters in the left arm, they were stacking towels to stabilize the arm underneath. So you can imagine a patient going in, laying on this bed, surrounded by very fancy imaging equipment, and then their arm being stabilized using a stack of 12 towels. Mm. And so for Nicole, this was so frustrating to her. She's like, why are we doing this? Like, this is a great facility. And then one procedure, this towel stack fell over. And that was just, you know, not enough to instigate her and her team to come up with a solution. So 3 weeks later, Nicole, after having gone to Home Depot, found materials from the hallway at UTMB, borrowing a hacksaw from her peer, breaking the hacksaw 3 times, she came up with actually a device to stabilize the arm. So it uses a shelf, if you can imagine, one of the small shelves that typically holds paper inside of, you know, in an office. Mm-hmm. She mounted that to a jig that has a hinge on it. So you've got this little like L-shaped jig, and then that was attached to a very flat base. And so the tray on the top was able to hold the patient's arm, and then she was used the hinge to actually position it wherever it needs to be during the procedure. So Nicole she's a very creative and very enthusiastic maker, and is also working with the technology licensing office at UTMB to explore commercialization and licensing for this device. So while
awesome.
we find, yeah, and it's exciting. I think for her and her team, it was really exciting for us to find and a great example. You know, sometimes you share protocols like what Roxana's bandage from Fallacyl patients, and sometimes nurses disseminate ideas through products like Nicole's arm stabilization device. But what these two examples show is that there's no one path that, you know, is a guaranteed success for medical technology. There's a lot of different ways that you can bring your idea to reality and that you can share your idea in your example making with others.
So Anna Young, who's one of the co-founders along with Jose Gomez Marquez of Maker Nurse, are you a tinkerer? Are you a creator?
If you saw my desk, that might answer your question. Or lack thereof, desk space. Yeah, it's been really fun. It's fun for me. I was never formally trained as an engineer. I am an economist by training, but have found, you know, I really love prototyping, laser cutting, and the CNC mill is one of my favorite tools in the lab over here. But
and what is that?
Yeah.
What is that tool?
It's so the one that we have here is it's about 6 feet by 8 feet long, and it's got, if you can imagine, a drill bit on the XY axis, is the XYZ axis, and so you're able to draw your design inside of the computer program that's like similar to, you know, it's pretty simple, like paint, if you will, you're drawing shapes, and then you direct the bit where to cut. So you can cut on wood, you can cut on acrylic, you can cut on thick plastics and foams, and it's just really a neat way to make everything from small intricate shapes to really large structures and even furniture.
Thank you, Anna Young of Maker Nurse. You can find out more about Maker Nurse online. This is Barbara Glickstein. I'm the host and producer of HealthCetera. HealthCetera is the voice of the Center for Health Media and Policy at Hunter College City University of New York. Thank you for joining me today, Anna Young.
Thanks so much. It was great to be here.